Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Essen Fresen. You know, just the very word Essen always makes me think of my mother and my boba, and that in itself brings me comfort. I think the world is in such disarray. I'm sure it's always been like that, but we seem to be feeling it more deeply now. Everything just seems upside down and a bit threatening and anxiety-ridden, and we keep our spirits up and we keep going. And one of the ways I know I keep going is through food and through expressing myself through food, and as I'm sure you do too. So when the word Essen comes up, as I said, it just makes me think of my mother, and I'm going to share with you as we start her Friday night pudding, and I'm calling it a pudding because it really is a pudding. I think she made it every Friday night for 40 years and just changed and swapped out fruit as she felt. And we always had it with ice cream and her pudding, and that was dessert always. And it was just always delicious and simple, and we looked forward to it. And sometimes anticipating something that we know so well, the familiarity of a scent, a smell, a taste, just brings comfort. So when I'm feeling miserable, I make this pudding, so I'm going to share it with you, and it is just so super simple. So you can use tinned or fresh fruit. I always opt for fresh fruit, and I love taking fresh fruit, and I make in a pot. I always kind of make my own coulis, and I stew the fruit a bit, whether it's plums or peaches or nectarines, and as I see things going just a bit soft in the fruit bowl, I always turn to my little pot, and there we make stewed fruit, which is beautiful in the morning with yogurt and muesli, or as a dessert, or just in the middle of the day when you want something sweet but you don't want to go for that chocolate. So what she did was she took two tins of apricots with the juice. So what I'm going to say to you is I take two punnets of plums or peaches or nectarines, and I create a little bit of a coulis with a little bit of water, a little bit of citrus, some lemon rind, some brown sugar, a dash of honey, or you can use date honey. So whatever you feel like in your pot, and you can make your own fruit. Literally, you take your baking tin or a beautiful ceramic dish, or I love tin on a table with a piece of paper. You know me and my parchment paper, I love the parchment paper showing. So I take a tin, place my parchment paper down, and pour the fruit onto the base of the dish. And on top of that, you put your dough. And there we have a half a cup sugar, one egg, a half a cup flour, and a teaspoon of baking powder. I tend to double that, beat it really well, and I do it by hand. So you're using one bowl and one whisk, and there's no mess and no fuss. You spoon that over your fruit, you spread it generously over, and you bake for 25 to 30 minutes on about 180, 200. And there you have a delicious hot dessert to go with a yummy ice cream for any time of the week, but I love it on a Friday night. As I say, it just brings me that sense of home and comfort. So while we're talking comfort, I'm going to share with you what I love doing during the week. My family love mince, and mince might seem like the poor relation of meat, but it really, really isn't. You can do such beautiful and creative things with it. I do so much with it when I make even my Mediterranean style, Israeli style tables, or when I do a Mexican, I always add mince, and it's always the first thing to go. So I'm going to share with you a recipe that seems simple, and it is simple, but you can spice it up either with your Moroccan kind of spice or a Mexican twist, or an Israeli, Mediterranean, Middle Eastern kind. So here we go. In a large wide pot on a medium heat, I put a little bit of olive oil, and I add two big chopped onions. I use white regular onions. Saute the onions for about 3 minutes, just till they get that beautiful glow. I add two punnets of mince, and with a wooden spoon, spread it out and blend it generously with your onion. So I love a lot of onion with the beef. I season with a dash of garlic, with salt, black pepper, paprika, and there, now you can get creative. If you want to go the more Moroccan kind of Middle Eastern route, I love the spice ras el hanout, and you put that together. Sometimes I just actually do turmeric, cumin, coriander, etc. There's so many beautiful spices available. I'm giving you quick recipes. I'm not telling you to make your own spices. So you can go and get a Spanish spice, a Moroccan spice, a Mexican, and then you put that with your beef, and it just kind of gives you the flavor. So if you're doing Mexican, you would serve it with tortillas or mini laffas or whatever you feel like. And if you going the other route, you can serve it with hummus. I love doing the mince with hummus, but I'm getting distracted. So let's go back to the recipe. So you have your beef cooking away in your pan. And to that I add some tomato paste, either homemade or store-bought, a generous glug, as I call it, some chopped coriander, some date syrup or date honey. I love using the date syrup. It's not quite as sweet as sugar or as honey, and it just gives a bit of tartness, but definitely adds the sweetness. Garlic, we've spoken about. And stir it all together. And while it's cooking, I then add a tin of chickpeas. So you have your chickpeas cooking with your mince. Delicious. It cooks away for about 30 minutes. It's still very moist. Put it in a bowl and serve it either with rice or couscous. Or I love just serving it in a bowl and on the side some fresh pita and a bowl of hummus. So yum. And there you go. So delicious. So easy. Of course, you can drizzle a tahina on top, and you can add some more chopped coriander. If you're going the Mexican route, you can add some peppers, some jalapeno peppers, which are sweet and tangy and delicious. If you want something completely different, you can just mix some peppers, fry it on the side. I often do red, green, yellow peppers. I love frying it with olive oil and a little bit of salt and pepper. So simple, always delicious. And just add that piled on the top of your mince and you have a beautiful weekday meal, even weekend meal, whatever you fancy.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Talking comfort food and family favorites and things just to make us feel better. So I'm going to chat today to Lauren Bulkin, who's an unbelievable chef and an exquisite host, renowned for her culinary genius and her beautiful parties. But we're really talking more simple things than parties. So welcome to my show, Lauren.
So nice to be on your show, Dolores. Hope all is good with you.
Thank you, and to you. So we're talking comfort food. I've just shared one of my recipes of, it sounds so basic, but just mince in a different way. And I just think it always offers a sense of home and the scents going through your kitchen, etc., of beautiful Moroccan spices and just adding something. So I just want to chat to you today about what your family favorites are. What's your comfort food? What's your go-to for when you're feeling a bit miz, a bit, you know, the world is in such turmoil and we're all trying to keep our spirits up. And I think cooking is just one of those things that offers such comfort and joy. And when you can give someone pleasure through food, it just gives us pleasure too. So that's really what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Well, I've got a brand new go-to that I actually made yesterday.
Okay.
I saw Jamie Oliver do it on his new cooking channel.
Yes.
And it's really, really healthy. So what he did was he took a baking sheet, he put on some baking paper, he took a sweet potato, cut it into wedges, you know, long wedges.
Yes.
I'd say about 8 per potato.
Okay, so
and then he took some. Yes, quite thin wedges.
Okay.
Then he took some mealies and cut them in half.
Okay.
And put a little bit of olive oil on top, a little bit of Cajun spice and some pepper. And then I put that into the oven at about 200.
Okay.
I then went to the spa and I went to the shops, that's actually the spa, and I found some, I have to say it right because apparently I say it very badly, jalapeno chilies.
Yes.
They come in a little jar.
Yes, they're delicious. And they're not so delicious. They're not so burny, yeah.
No, they were unbelievably yummy.
Yes.
And I put them into my food processor with a handful of coriander and I made like a chili salsa.
Yeah.
I then also just made a little bit of guacamole, or you can buy a ready guac, which is simple.
Yes.
And then what he did was he took a packet of tortillas. Yes. I've never ever done that before. I don't know if you've ever done that, where you take a tortilla and you hold it over the flame of your gas stove.
And it softens it.
It softens it and gets all humpy, you know, like all those beautiful bubs. And
all
it's
bubbles and humples and everything, yeah.
Yes, it was like mind-blowing for me. Yes. I did the whole package. There were only 4 of us. I did the whole package just because I was having so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
And I served that for lunch yesterday. When the sweet potatoes came out, they were all caramelized. The millies were charred and we put it onto the tortilla with some guac, yes, and some of that salsa that I made.
Delicious.
He also put refried beans. I just wasn't in the mood to do beans as well, but yes. I guess you could.
Yes.
And rolled it up and we ate that for lunch yesterday. And that's
delicious.
Definitely new family favorite.
Amazing. Sounds delicious and yummy. Thank
Completely
you for sharing
delicious.
That with us. Thanks so much. And thanks for giving us your time.
No, it was so lovely. Look after yourself.
You too.
Take
thanks,
care.
Lauren.
Cheers. Bye.
So we're talking comfort food, and I hope you're all feeling comforted. I certainly am after chatting to Lauren about her new recipe for delicious Mexican style veg, which she served just with tortillas for an easy weekday or weekend meal. And we've spoken to Trevor from Maxi's about lamb and how to cook lamb, and we've had some inspiration to make some curry and some roast lamb in the oven. But I'm going to share with you just two simple chicken recipes, which are always my go-to recipes and also easy for the week. And I think we're all watching budgets, and I think we have to take cognizance of the fact that we're not all cooking lamb and fancy every day. That's why I also shared my mince recipe with you, which I just love as that weekday filler. But a lemon and herb grilled chicken is just something that just is so universal and so loved and so easy. So the way I do it is I buy a spatchcock chicken, which is just your chicken opened, and it just seems to look a bit better than the whole chicken. I just love that look. The juice of two lemons, some fresh pepper, and a dash of salt. Be careful with the salt. You don't always need so much salt. Sometimes the chicken is a bit salty itself, but I love just adding a little bit of salt and a freshly ground black pepper. I make a seasoning using a tablespoon of barbecue spice, a tablespoon, such an easy seasoning, which I use for a multitude of meat dishes, is I take a tablespoon of barbecue spice, a teaspoon of garlic salt. I actually, whenever I travel and if I am in America, I always buy the Lawry's garlic salt. To me, that's just the best garlic salt. It just has a delicious flavor to it. And we add it on everything in my household, salads on weekday nights. And it's delicious with fish. It's delicious with chicken, with meat, with really anything. So a teaspoon of garlic salt, a teaspoon of an onion salt, a teaspoon of paprika, and you can use the sweet paprika if you prefer, a tablespoon of any chicken or meat seasoning. There's so many on the market. There's so many great ranges of spices that we have. And then a teaspoon of mixed herbs. So again, you can substitute mixed herbs and use fresh, whatever I have fresh. If I have coriander, basil, rosemary, thyme, I love chopping up spices together and rubbing it over my meat or my chicken. So again, I take my roasting pan and place down a piece of baking paper. I wash and flatten the chicken and place it face down on the roasting pan. Squeeze your lemon juice generously all over the chicken. Use your hands here. Take your seasonings, mix it all together, and liberally rub it in to the whole side of the chicken and grind a little pepper on the top. I place the chicken on the bottom rack of the oven and roast for 30 minutes. I then turn it over and I season the other side exactly the same way. Of course, it's a bit hotter now, so you have to watch your hands. But again, I just love to take that rub, and here I add a lot more fresh herbs and I roast for a further 30 minutes. At this point, pour a cup of water into your roasting pan and then turn the grill on. That's a trick, but it works. So you take a cup of water into your roasting pan. This is when your chicken is already halfway through baking or roasting, and turn the chicken down on the other side, turn the grill on. Place it again on the lower part of the oven and grill for a further 10 to 15 minutes. You can then flip it over again and grill skin side up for a further 15 minutes. So easy and always so delicious. A whole chicken will take about 90 minutes to maybe just 120 minutes, depends on your oven. And that will always allow for the breast still to be juicy and not too dry. Again, I always open my chicken just to check that there's no pink. We all know pink is bad news. Pink chicken is bad news. So just make sure your chicken is cooked through. So easy. And what I have been doing also is whatever I have left over in chicken, I shred it off the bone, put it in a Ziploc, and there you've got chicken for a delicious chicken salad. Another easy peasy recipe for a weekday meal, which you can use on chicken or on fish, is if you're really in a hurry, take a bottle of salad dressing, any style Italian salad dressing, a vinaigrette or something like my dill, my Green Dream dill dressing works perfectly with this, or my mustard dressing if you like that mustardy flavor. So literally take a bottle, use half, so it's about 125 mils. Add to that 5 heaped tablespoons of a sweet chili sauce. And again, I add in some garlic salt, a little bit of onion salt, a little bit of paprika, and some fresh herbs. Take some chicken portions, throw all those ingredients into a Ziploc bag, and move your chicken around in the Ziploc bag with all those ingredients. Leave it for 1 hour or so, and all those flavors just seem to infuse with each other. Easy, pop into an oven dish, bake at 180 degrees for about 50 minutes to 1 hour till it's all golden and cooked through. So easy, and again, an easy weekday meal.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
I'm now going to talk to Trevor from Maxi's Butchery. We all know Trevor, and he is renowned in our community and afar for his delicious meat and beautiful cuts of meat, always ready to help with advice and share recipe. Welcome to my show, Trevor.
How's it? How are you?
Good.
How's it, Dolores? Thank How's everybody?
You. All good. Thank you. So we're talking comfort food. We're talking family favorites. And I think one of the things that people are often scared of is how to cook lamb. There's so many different cuts of lamb. So I wanted to talk to you about choosing the best cuts and for what dishes you choose those cuts. I know my favorite is always deboned lamb, and it, I know it also comes with a hefty price. So it's not always accessible and not always attainable. So what are the other cuts of lamb that lend itself to a beautiful stew or a beautiful kind of Friday night dinner? What would you recommend to our listeners?
You know that in my family, we actually love breast of lamb. Breast of lamb, it's a little bit fattier than other lamb, but it's full of flavor, and it cooks very, very soft. It's a lamb which is like brisket. It's the brisket part of the lamb.
Okay.
And as we know, the brisket is very It's full of flavor, and what we do with it is that we spice it with very much sort of the Greek style of spicing, mm-hmm. with rosemary, a little bit of salt, a little bit of mint, and a little bit of even a touch of barbecue spice.
Okay.
And not with marinade, and then
so you rub that. You rub the lamb with that.
You rub it with the spice. You can put a bit of lemon juice on, but not too much. You don't want it in too much acidity on it.
For sure. I actually love grating lemon, and I often use the lemon rind and rub that in too.
It's very good. Very good. And then and also sometimes with a bit of, a garlic in lamb also brings that flavor of lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much. It really works well with lamb. Curry powder, a drop of curry powder with any lamb works well, but not aggressively with too much curry.
For sure.
But just a drop, it brings out flavor of lamb.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the Cape Coloureds with their traditional lamb cooking, they use a lot of curry in their, a lot of their dishes with lamb.
Yes.
It really brings out a lot of flavor in their roast lamb, and particularly with lamb breast. You take a lamb breast, you put it in the oven at a 180, you roast it open for a good hour and a half, and it gets nice and crispy, and it's really delicious, and it comes out soft, and it's
delicious.
You can't go wrong. You cook it with the bone down, and all that fat runs off the lamb, and it helps crisp, and gets all crispy, and it's really delicious. Another lamb dish that's in my house, the favorite Friday night, is shoulder lamb.
Oh, that's my best.
Now, shoulder lamb on the bone is a very easy, easy cut to cook. You just have to get the butcher to crack it properly, and to make sure all the bones are cracked properly, and it's cracked properly through all the ribs.
Okay.
And you put you spice it properly. I do it with a dry rub. I do it with fresh herbs,
okay.
Mint, a drop of mint. But rosemary is loved in my house.
Yes.
And
rosemary and lamb
powder.
Just go together. And you're saying you always add that bit of curry powder, even when you're doing the more Greek style?
No, with shoulder lamb, I don't do Greek style. Lamb ribs, I do Greek style.
Okay.
Shoulder lamb, I do with curry powder. I do with a little bit of Mrs. Ball's chutney that you normally have, fruity chutney, fruity flavor, and a little bit of cumin also brings out flavor of lamb, but not a lot, because cumin can be quite aggressive on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to make it
too sharp
on the tongue. You mustn't put your tongue. You need to have mild flavor on lamb. You mustn't put aggressive flavor on lamb.
Okay.
And then you must, lamb must be put into the oven always with the bone down. And you must spread everything and rub it nicely all around. And any holes or crevices must get flavor. And you don't, and you need to put it on in the oven 180. You can cover it as well to start. And it cooks for 2.5 to 3 hours.
Okay.
And at least the last hour should be open. For a reason, you want that outside
crisp. For sure.
Crisp.
For sure.
You want it to crisp. And it does, lamb shoulder needs cooking. It's got bone and got internal bone. And internal bone, the meat around it doesn't cook properly if it hasn't got the time. And you can cook it before Shabbos and warm it up.
Okay.
You can cook it before Shabbos and you can carve it before Shabbos and then warm it up.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be carved. Yes.
Trevor, you don't add any oil or anything because you just speak about the dry rub and a bit of the chutney, etc., but you didn't mention anything else. So you just place it in your oven like that.
I don't put oil.
Yeah. Because it generates its own fat.
Lamb has got its own fat.
For sure, for sure.
Lamb's got its own fat. Own fat. It's really unbelievable.
That's such a
nice another lamb cut, another lamb cut, which is stewing lamb or lamb curry. A lamb curry is quite a... Is a popular dish. It's as you call it, comfort food. And I start my curry very much like a lamb stew. This is I learned this many years ago from my mother, who made lamb curry. I start my lamb stew or lamb curry with a lot of onions. When I brown my lamb, I brown it with a lot of onions.
Okay.
My mother used to say, you let the onions talk to the lamb.
Okay.
So that it creates a lovely stock with the lamb and the onions.
Delicious.
And that little, as you brown, creates a lovely stock. Then once you've created the browning, then you add some of your curry spices. You put your bit of bay leaves. You can put your
mustard
curry
seeds,
leaves.
Fennel. I do a whole mix.
The whole mix and your bit of curry powder. Woolworths has the most amazing range of different curry powders which you can choose from. You don't have to think too hard of what to choose. Hot, mild, different flavors.
For sure.
And you add some of that curry powder, a little bit of chutney. Chutney is great with lamb.
Yeah.
And you can put a little bit of apricot jam, a little bit of sweetness in curry.
And I also add the tins of the Indian tomatoes, which are also readily available.
Now, but there's a secret that I do. I put that towards the end of the cooking of my lamb.
Okay.
I add a bit of water to my lamb while I'm cooking in the beginning. And then I cook my lamb, and when I add my vegetables, when the lamb's getting a bit softer, I add my vegetables, potatoes, carrots, not too big pieces.
Yeah, small pieces.
I don't want them to be too chunky. And I add that to my lamb. And then I take my tomato, Indian tomato, you get from Woolworths, you get all gold, you get all different ones,
yeah.
And you add that to the curry, and then you need to taste your curry. And once you taste your curry, then you add more curry powder. You add a little bit more curry. Okay. Then you add a little bit more chutney at the end. Your curry that you start with tends to lose
its pungency, its strength, yes.
Its pungency and its flavor. You need to add the last 20 minutes of your cooking needs curry again.
Okay.
And that curry again changes the whole experience of your lamb. And that's what you need to do when you do curry. And that'll change your whole curry experience. Curry needs 2.5-3 hours. I use lamb with a bone. If I do use lamb goulash, it needs to have some fat with it.
Okay.
And that's what I find very important.
Great. Trevor from Maxi's, thank you so much for taking time out and for sharing your recipes with us today. All sounds delicious, and I'm sure our listeners are going to try it this week. Thank you.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking yummy summer, we're talking easy recipes, weekday comfort food. One of the things that everyone loves is a good gazpacho soup. I think I've really spent so much time looking at different recipes, and I think we've kind of got it just right. Everyone seems to love it. It's so easy. It looks elegant if swished into a little cocktail glass. You can even use a martini glass with a straw. I use little short tumblers and a breadstick, a little bit of chopped spring onion. Always yum and always delicious as a starter. So when I make my gazpacho, here we go with my recipe. 500 grams of overripe tomatoes. If you wish, you can use tinned, but I just love the freshness of soft tomatoes. So, and they normally are much more cost effective. So if you go to your greengrocer and ask him for overripe tomatoes, they're normally a bit cheaper than the very ripe tomatoes. 500 grams of an English cucumber. I literally don't measure. I take a full English cucumber, peel it and chop it up. One chopped yellow pepper, one chopped red onion, a teaspoon of crushed garlic. Start putting that all together in your pot. I like to use a deep pot because I like to blend it all. To that, I add 250 grams of ground almonds. Don't miss this out. It just gives that extra zing to your gazpacho. 3 cups of tomato juice. And here, I just buy any tomato juice that's available. A dash of tomato sauce. Not too sweet, so just be very careful with your dash. A dash of chili sauce. And here again, I've been using the sriracha to give it a tang and not using a sweet chili sauce. So try not to opt for a sweet chili sauce here. And 2 tablespoons of wine vinegar or sherry vinegar or any white vinegar. But the wine vinegar also just lends itself to a gazpacho. So in the blender, I process all the vegetables, the nuts, the garlic, everything until very smooth. I transfer to a large mixing bowl and add in all the other ingredients. Pulse it for a few seconds. Add salt and pepper to taste. And there you go. If you find it's too runny, you can add some stale breadcrumbs or just any breadcrumbs that you have. Chill for a few hours because often it thickens slightly in the fridge. Serve chilled. You can double or treble the recipe. I love serving in a little white bowl or a little cup, as I said, or a champagne flute or any form of glass that you have with a breadstick. If you're doing a milk meal, you can add a dollop of creme fraiche and always some chopped chives to the top. So delicious. Another recipe that's been my go-to this summer and adds deliciousness to your kitchen is a tabbouleh. So we all know tabbouleh is generally made with a bulgur wheat, but I came across this recipe that uses grated cauliflower. So you can substitute your bulgur wheat for cauliflower if you want a completely gluten-free tabbouleh. I love tabbouleh. It's so vibrant, the colors are beautiful, and this is a delicious gluten-free alternative. So here we go. 1/2 head of a white cauliflower that you grate, very small. 1/2 head of some broccoli, if you can get your hands on a nice broccoli. 6 chopped spring onions. 1 bunch of fresh parsley. 1 handful of fresh mint. 1.5 cups of pomegranate seeds. You then mix that all together and you have these beautiful colors together in your bowl. And the dressing is so simple and you can use it for other salads as well. 1/2 cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice. 1/3 cup of olive oil. 1 dash of pomegranate molasses or any pomegranate extraction that you can find. They are available in the supermarkets. I love to add 2 tablespoons of tahina paste. It just adds something to your tabbouleh. Some chopped garlic is absolutely optional. 1 tablespoon of salt, and here I definitely opt for a Maldon salt, and 1 dash of black pepper ground over the tabbouleh. And there you have a dish. I find it lasts for about 1.5 days in the fridge. It's just one of those dishes that you tend to eat quicker, and I don't love it after so many days in the fridge. If you use the bulgur wheat, definitely 1 day, that's it. But if you use the cauliflower, you can stretch it. So that's an easy summer recipe. While we're talking veg and we're talking comfort, just something I came across here. We all know the medicinal value of vegetables. And these are just things that I read, and they had the little shapes of all the vegetables and the parts of the body, and it's so crazy how they match. So sweet potatoes are good for the pancreas. We know beans are good for your kidneys. Avocado is good for the uterus. Celery, so good for your bones. Grapes are good for your heart. Walnuts are good for your brain. Citrus fruits are great for the eyes. Garlic, good for the liver. Cauliflower, funnily enough, is good for hair. Chia seeds are good for insulin resistance and sugar. And spinach, always healthy in pregnancy. So there are some little handy hints when it comes to selecting your vegetables. We're now going to talk to Avi Meir. Avi has just opened Friends 2 or Two Friends. I think more than two friends. Two friends. It could be, it could be 10 friends or 20 friends. It's in Linksfield and so delicious, serving up all the tastes and flavors that we love from Friends Bakery, but with his own twist, shawarmas, pita, falafel, chicken shawarma. Tell us what's happening at your restaurant, and then I want to talk to you about your favorite food and what you cook for your family.
Sure. So yeah, we opened just before the Chagim. It's been amazing. Very Mediterranean sort of style, as you said. So there's the shawarmas, chicken thigh skewers, different kebabs, different types of hummus with toppings, like with mushroom, with full, with minced meat. And yeah, so far it's been amazing. It's really been great.
Do you see like kind of regular things that are being more popular than others? Do you think people are opting for the same? Are they trying new things?
So the nice thing about the hummus, like the different hummus dishes, people are always like a bit wary of them, you know, because they're not sure like that it's a full dish and how it comes.
Yes.
But once they've had it.
They love it.
It's a no go back. Yeah, it's a proper, you know, like
the real deal. It's the real deal.
That's it, 100%. But then obviously the shawarmas are always like the number one, the most popular. And then, funnily enough, for hot beef and rice, right up there as well. Eh?
Okay, yeah. South Africans love hot beef and rice. That's so nice. And tell me, what is your favorite go-to dish when you have to come home at night, or when you're thinking of Shabbos, and when you think of comfort food? We're talking family favorites. We're talking things that make people feel a sense of familiarity and comfort. What would you turn to?
Sure. I'm funny with food, you know, so it's quite a difficult question. But, you know, like for me, a nice mashed potato with livers and onions and mushroom always goes down well as a nice family meal, or even just a good pasta.
That's such a nice idea. There you go. So tell us, when you use chicken livers, I presume.
Yeah.
Fried up with some onion and some what else? Give us some hints here.
So what I do, so myself personally, I take quite a lot of onion and quite a lot of mushrooms.
Okay.
And obviously fry the onions, and just when the onions go soft and golden, I chuck the mushrooms in.
Yes.
And unfortunately, these days we can't get raw chicken liver. So the cooked one, I mean,
yes,
that you get. So you really can leave that till the end. But what I do, I actually, when I put the mushrooms in, I actually pour a bit of water, like half a glass of water into the pan.
Okay.
And I put paprika, chicken stock, and a little bit of chili.
Okay.
And it gives it a nice thick sort of soup, you know, that it makes. Yes. It with the chicken stock and the paprika and the chili. And then I throw the chicken livers in, and literally for 5 minutes, you don't need it more than that. And it's actually delicious. So
that's so delicious. And that you can serve it with rice or mash, as you say, it goes with everything.
Rice, mash, it goes fantastic with mash.
Yes.
Also, I mean, for mash recipe, instead of using margarine or anything like that, if you use a little bit of olive oil and also mix the water with chicken stock a little bit and then
yes.
mash it up.
Yes.
And then also just chuck a bit of parsley in it or something like that also works fantastic. Sure. And gives the mash a fantastic type of flavor.
For sure. And something as simple as mash can actually become a gourmet experience. Even sometimes I do it when I do an Italian-y style and I add in some pesto. Pesto mash is also delicious. So depending on what you're making.
Absolutely.
It's always delicious, and it really elevates the dish to something else.
A nice salad on the side.
For sure.
Always also goes down well with it.
For sure. And tell me, when it comes to salad, what's your favorite?
So I don't like lettuce in my salads. Yes. I like a very traditional village like salad, just
chopped
raw chopped cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, you know, with a nice dressing. And I prefer my salads like that. Not also a heavy salad dressing. I prefer more of a olive oil, lemon juice, a bit of salt.
For sure.
Just, I just find it fresh.
Always.
Yeah, lettuce for me, unfortunately, for me.
Doesn't do it.
I ruin a salad. Yeah, it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you. Well, thank you and good luck. And I hope you have more than two
friends.
Thank
you. I appreciate
it. I hope you have many friends visiting you at Two Friends.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye. Ciao, ciao.
So there we have it, a wrap-up of today's Tastes and Flavors, simple comfort food. While we're talking comfort, the new cool, they say, is to be boring. Boring is definitely the new cool. I love the concept. And just a few thoughts to leave you with is to wake up early, go for a walk, get sunlight every day, lift a few weights, even if it means just picking up a box and moving it to another room. Eat healthy, cook at home, keep your circle small and tight, and love your family always. And just before we end off, I'm going to share with you something I read from the book Revenge of the Lawn by Richard Brautigan, where he talks about so many things, but one of the lovely quotes that he ends off with, and I'm going to leave it with you, he says, "Sometimes life is merely a matter of coffee and whatever intimacy a cup of coffee affords." So there we go. I hope you find comfort and intimacy with your cooking and with your small circle and with your family this next month, and we'll see you again soon as we explore some more tastes and flavors going forward. Thank you so much for sharing this hour with me today.